This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson. The People Speak Show normally airs every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific and 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network. You can participate during the show with calling questions for our guests toll-free in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. Or you can join us live in the government and politics section of Pal Talk, the largest free chat program in the world, where we have our virtual radio room, the People Speak Radio Show, that anyone may join to participate in the show. This is a fantastic show tonight. I'm more excited than Bill Clinton stuck in a Thailand brothel. We're talking to a very special guest right here, a researcher and a radio host on RBN Radio. He's also a well-known webmaster for a global alternative news website called www.whatreallyhappened.com. He is also a researcher into false flags of the government and a renowned political commentator. We're talking tonight to the esteemed Mr. Mike Rivero about the changing political spectrum in the USA and some of the more recent false flags that have been happening around the world. Welcome to the People Speak Show, Mr. Rivero, sir.
Well, thank you very much for having me tonight.
It's fantastic. I've been looking forward to having you on the show, but it's a pleasure to have you here. Now, we'll be taking audience questions after the first half hour, but my first question to you, sir, is how did you first get started in the alternate news field?
Well, it happened entirely by accident. I certainly did not wake up one morning and say I'm going to throw away a promising career in film visual effects to become an irritant to the powers that be. But it all began back in 1994 when I was living in Southern California with my then brand new wife, Claire. And I had a little animation set up in my home. And I was also working for a company in downtown Hollywood on a project. And I was in my home studio just doing what I was doing. I had the television, cable TV coming into part of the video switcher just to keep noise going and keep myself amused. And all of a sudden, they had this picture that had been leaked by the White House to Reuters News showing the hand of White House Deputy Counsel Vincent Foster lying on the ground in Fort Marcy Park. And next to it was this dark blued steel gun. And they were saying about how Vince Foster tragically killed himself. Now, I worked in visual effects, and knowing what makes things look real or not was my bread and butter. In the instant I looked at that picture, I said, this is a fake. It's a stage shot. It's not even a very good one. So I hit the frame cap button, and I printed out a hard copy of that picture. And the next day, I went down to this company I was doing some work for in Hollywood, which shared the same building as CNN Hollywood. And lunchtime, we shared the same outdoor cafe, and I'm sitting at a table showing this picture to the people I'm working on, saying, there are so many things wrong with this. There's not a speck of blood anywhere on Foster's white shirt sleeve or his hand. There should be blood everywhere. There's no dependent lividity, and on and on and on. And I remember very clearly the CNN people at the next table listening to me very intently. And that night, we started getting the threatening phone calls, and I was let go from this company right in the middle of the project. And my career in Hollywood simply evaporated. People I'd known for years didn't even want to be seen with me because I'd been blacklisted. And if you remember the history of COINTELPRO back in the 1960s, that was a very, very common occurrence. Actress Jean Seberg, merely for showing public support for the civil rights movement, had her career utterly destroyed by the FBI. So since I all of a sudden seemed to have a lot of spare time on my hands, I started looking more into the Vince Foster case. I found documentation in the FBI's own paperwork that they were fraudulently manufacturing testimony and evidence. We found signs of more cover-up. And I had basically started doing a web page about it as a subpage of my animation website. And that was kind of the beginning. And we had to leave Southern California because of all the death threats. We lived briefly in Washington State. Then I got an offer to come to Hawaii to work on a motion picture by a Japanese company that didn't care that the White House hated me. And so we moved to Hawaii, and I worked on the movie, and I actually succeeded in partly getting my career back. I was a visual effects producer for Lost for 4 seasons, off the map for their first season, the pilot for the new Hawaii Five-0. But I hit a point where I'm getting on in years, and the load was too much, and I had to make a choice. And I decided that at my age, instead of just making movies and TV shows about saving the world, I was going to really try and save the world, at least in terms of trying to head off this rush to war, which is probably going to turn out, you know, nuclear down the road. And so since that moment, I've been focused full time on whatreallyhappened.com and my talk radio show. And then that's pretty much it.
Wow. It sounds like you've done a lot of work, especially in the visual effects side of things. Now, you have done a lot of work over the years exposing Hillary Clinton's criminal past and of course, Bill Clinton. Can you explain to the audience here how much evidence is there exactly to implicate her in serious criminal behavior?
Well, there's obviously a lot of cover-up going on. We know that in the case of the murder of White House Deputy Counsel Vince Foster, the FBI was trying to cover up for the Clintons. I think they're still trying to cover up for Hillary today with that email server. But we actually know from one of the released emails that was released because of Judicial Watch's civil lawsuit, Hillary Clinton did violate Section 793 of Title 18. And I think Judicial Watch, based on their most recent discovery motion before the court, is pursuing that line. And under Title 18, if you violate any section of Title 18, you are ineligible to hold public office in the United States of America. But the amount of corruption over the years that I've uncovered has been a little bit daunting. And even back there in 1994, I was, like most Americans, very naive, very trusting. The government's basically good. The corporate media is basically honest and accurate. And if there are some bad people, they're a minority. And over the preceding 22 years, it is just constantly being reinforced that the people who seek positions of power and authority and wealth really are willing to do anything at all to get those positions. And I think that's being reinforced in the eyes of most Americans right now, looking at our current election process, where the leadership of both political parties are just openly telling voters, it's not up to you anymore. We will decide who the candidates are, and if you are a loyal party member, you will vote for our candidate. This is really angering a lot of people. The Nevada State Democratic Convention was a tremendous slap in the face to Democratic Party members, Democratic Party voters, and certainly Bernie Sanders supporters, when they're just literally trying to throw the delegates to Hillary Clinton. When the Sanders people complain about it, they adjourn the meeting and call the police on the Sanders supporters. So they're not even trying to hide the election fraud any longer. And it's been an epidemic problem in our country for a very, very long time. In fact, there's a website people probably ought to look at called blackboxvoting.org. It's run by this wonderful lady named Bev Harris, and she has just for years and years and years been working on this problem that these electronic voting machines are designed to be wide open to fraud to change elections. In fact, HBO actually did a documentary called Hacking Democracy that centered on Bev Harris and her work, showing just how easy elections can be stolen with these electronic devices. And it really is a scandal. And what we have here is this idea that although Americans are being told that we choose our own leaders and we have a democracy, the reality is actually very different. The government that is taking our money, the government that is violating our constitutional rights, the government that is taking our children and sending them off to wars and conquest, basically stole their positions of power. And they cannot prove that any of these elections are accurate or honest or fair. We keep seeing situations like in New Jersey, where Democrats who were supporting Bernie Sanders, their registrations just magically disappeared from the New Jersey voter database. And we're seeing this all over the country, where Bernie Sanders supporters' registrations are being changed without their permission. That also happened at the Nevada State Convention.
Wow.
It's just wide open out there. Hillary Clinton wants to be president. She knows where all the dead bodies are buried in American politics and how they got to be dead bodies. And the message has gone out from her campaign. If she is not declared anointed, crowned president of the United States next year, she's going to start telling tales and ruining careers.
Gosh, well, I do consider there's enough evidence already to have her on treason. Do you not concur with that?
Absolutely. We know from documents that came out of the State Department that at the same time Obama and Clinton were telling us ISIS and Al-Qaeda were our mortal enemies, and they were coming up with these faked videos of beheadings and so forth, the U.S. government was smuggling weapons to ISIS and al-Qaeda in Syria to try and bring down Bashar al-Assad. And the hub for the smuggling operation was that consulate in Benghazi. So one of the reasons they wanted that destroyed was to get rid of the paper trail for what really amounts to the crime of treason. Because treason is legally defined as giving aid and comfort to the enemy during time of war. We're being told we're in a war on terror. We're being told ISIS and al-Qaeda are the enemy. And what is Obama and Hillary Clinton doing? They're taking Libyan weapons left over from the downfall of Gaddafi and sending them to ISIS and al-Qaeda in Syria.
And, of course, I'm sure you agree that if the law of treason was being upheld, John McCain would be in Guantanamo quick smart, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing all this evidence of duplicity that's going on there. But the problem we have with our current federal government is they see themselves as above the law. Remember when George W. Bush was out there calling the Constitution a blankety-blank piece of paper? That's really a very common idea. They actually don't want the Constitution around anymore. They want to shred it. They want to get rid of it in the Bill of Rights. They're trying to transition what remains of our constitutional republic to a true fascist economic dictatorship, because then we, the people, can't get in the way of their plan to simply try and conquer the world and bring it all under American control. The problem with that agenda is we're already mired down in all these countries that we keep on invading and evading, and those people fight back trying to kick out their U.S. puppet rulers. So we're still in Afghanistan, we're still in Iraq, we're still thrashing around Yemen and Libya. We're pretty much losing Syria at this point. They can't get into Iran, and yet the U.S. government is out there thinking that if we can just get into war with Russia and China, we'll be able to protect our paper dollar from the ruble and the yuan. Our military is already exhausted. The stockpiles are drawn down. Weapons are not designed to last a long time. They're all worn out. And the junk that is currently being produced by the military-industrial complex may be the most expensive weapon systems on Earth, but they're junk. I mean, the list of problems with the F-35, you can't fly in the fog, can't fly near lightning. Took them a long time to get the carrier version to work correctly. The computer software still isn't working. The gun won't be working until 2019, and the engines keep setting themselves on fire during takeoff. And this is the most expensive warplane. We have problems with the Independence-class littoral combat ships, out-of-control corrosion. The Freedom-class littoral combat ships have constant drivetrain problems. They keep dissolving their transmissions. The latest U.S. carrier, the Gerald R. Ford, the magnetic railgun catapults won't work. They can't synchronize all these imaging radars that were supposed to present a unified threat analysis. It's showing multiple targets or ghost targets. It's just a nightmare. They throw all this money at these weapon systems, and they're getting junk for it. And they're sending our kids out to try and conquer these other countries with weapon systems that really are not working very well. And yes, we can take on a small little Middle Eastern country like a Libya or a Yemen, and whoop them. But going up against another great power like Russia or China, we are going to be in serious, serious trouble. I don't think the U.S. can prevail in a conventional war against Russia and China. And that means somewhere between the start of that war and final capitulation by the U.S. government, they are likely to resort to the nuclear arsenal.
You know, it's very interesting. No doubt with these contracts for the military defense contractors, they're making companies like the Carlyle Group very, very rich. And these people that we're talking about, all these traitors to the U.S. Constitution, they've basically got all the stock in the Carlyle Group. Do you not agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. It's a self-feeding frenzy. I'll give you a good example of that. Remember when Michael Chertoff was head of the Department of Homeland Security, and he was the guy who came up with swabs and rubber gloves, and we've got to have x-rays and scanners and all the rest of that. And once he had set that in as the new requirement for America's airport, he retired from public life, and he started a company, the Chertoff Group, which sells airport scanners and rubber gloves and swabs and the rest of it. And he's just raking the dough in from programs he put into place, and they're laughing all the way to the bank, and they're laughing at us. Now we've got this story where the TSA is deliberately making security lines so long, thousands of people are missing their flights, and the TSA is pushing everybody to sign up for this pre-check program, which is $85 and a lot of your personal private information sent in there. And basically, it's an extortion racket. Pay the TSA $85 or they're going to make you miss your flight.
Wow. So how is it that these people are not being investigated? How is it that they get away with this?
Because,
are they actually really above the law?
Because the entire federal government is dead broke, desperate to find any way to get money, and anything that brings more money in is okay. The system really is totally corrupt from top to bottom, and they don't want anybody who's not equally corrupt coming in, which is why they're working so hard trying to keep Donald Trump out.
Wow. Now you mentioned the beheading videos, which I consider have been done in studios, completely fake. And
yes.
You've actually been a former special effects specialist on various Hollywood films and TV shows.
Yes.
So my question, how much of the news today do you think includes this augmented reality or prefabricated stage news stories?
Oh, a huge amount of it. I mean, we've caught major networks like CNN and Fox claiming to be doing stories from the front lines in battles, and it's all green screen work. And it's not done very well because you can see where, you know, part of their head keeps vanishing and the background leaks through. And there's a lot of that fakery going on. Most of the ISIS videos were fakes. They finally resorted to doing some real ones because the fakes were always being spotted. But once you understand that it's a propaganda hoax, it doesn't matter if they actually go out and kill some guy. We all know it's just part of this campaign to convince us ISIS is the evil enemy, even as Obama and Hillary Clinton were sending them weapons paid for by our tax dollars.
And much of what we see on the news is complete prefabricated scripts anyway.
Absolutely. Whether it's coming from the government propagandists or corporations, a lot of what is put on news is actually very cleverly disguised product placement. Because most news departments are struggling with tight budgets as they lose viewers. And so you'll have somebody show up with a pre-made tape and a news story, and a news director will say, great, we got to fill 1.5 minutes at the bottom of the third quarter, and they'll just slot it in. And it'll be talking about the shocking rise in sun-related skin cancers, and it's just a very clever goad for people to go on over and buy more suntan oil. That's just one example.
Right. Now, I know that on your website, whatreallyhappened.com, there's a huge archive of Osama bin Laden material. Now, today in 2016, the overwhelming evidence of Osama bin Laden being used as an Emmanuel Goldstein-type character is now overwhelming. For those who have done basic research, it's overwhelming. Why do you think it is that many still don't understand that they've been lied to for so many years using these scripted actors? Why do you think it is so many people don't get it?
Well, first of all, my perception right now is the majority of people do get it. But a lot of people are trapped by their image of how they hope the world is going to be. We're all raised with TV shows and movies about people who are heroic and take a stand against corruption and evil. And we all like to imagine we're that kind of person until we're actually confronted with that. And when you have people who all of a sudden have it rubbed into their face, the government is wrong, the government is corrupt, the government is evil, now you've got to face a choice. Are you going to do something about it, which entails risks to your life, your career, your future security? Or are you going to just close your eyes and turn away, at which point you have to surrender your self-image of being a decent human being? Most people don't even want to have to make that choice. So they will desperately grab whatever propaganda is being handed to them by the media so they can go on thinking that they're good and decent people. And they look in the mirror and they say, I'm a good person. I would fight against corruption and evil. I just don't see any need to do it this particular moment. And it's a gross self-deception, but it's one of the most powerful tools of the propagandists to keep people believing the propaganda. And that's why, when you look at it, most propaganda isn't really designed to survive a careful analysis. It's just there to give people who don't want to think an excuse not to. But that's right. Wearing out now, because we've been lied to so many times about Saddam's nuclear weapons and all the rest of it. People are saying, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me 467 times, I got to stand up and say, you're lying to me.
You fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Yeah.
You know, one of the biggest wake-up calls for myself, personally being the son of a Vietnam vet and a military brat to boot, was the exposure of the Gulf of Tonkin incident back in 2005. Can you explain to the audience here, what was that all about, please, Mike?
Well, the specific incident involved the USS Maddox, and it was conducting surveillance operations against North Vietnam, and they had an inexperienced sonar operator on board who was taking their directed sonar array, turning it around, and he accidentally picked up the sound of the Maddox's propellers, and he hit the panic button, said, torpedoes in the water, torpedoes in the water. It went up the chain of command all the way to Lyndon Johnson, who was looking for a way to escalate the war in Vietnam. And the captain of the Maddox immediately sent a follow-up report, False alarm, false alarm, inexperienced sonar operator. Johnson threw it in the trash. He took the first report to Congress, and he got the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which was when the Vietnam War really became very, very bloody. And the reason for the war in Vietnam had nothing to do with the Vietnamese people, had everything to do with funding his supporters at Bell Helicopter, General Dynamics, and all these other companies who are very generous supporters of political campaigns. And when you get into the positions of power, you have to make good on the promises you've made to them. And that includes making wars for the war industry. And Eisenhower did warn us about how this was all going to happen with his speech about the military-industrial complex. And he was absolutely right. There is so much money tied up in the defense industries. They can shape the government to their own purposes. And it's not just the defense industries. Now we've got the pharmaceutical industries who have acquired that much money where they can buy the government. And government is just openly on sale with all these ridiculous laws like Citizens United that declares corporations to be legal persons with First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, which even ordinary Americans don't get that anymore. You have a First Amendment right to freedom of speech as long as you're not criticizing the government, saying bad things about minorities, and certainly you should never, ever criticize Israel. That's not freedom of speech. That's permitted speech.
Amen. You know, just to touch finally on the Vietnam conflict, one thing that really disgusted me when I researched it and found out some of the first targets that America and allied forces bombed were ancient Cambodian and Laotian temples. They were these archaeological sites that had a lot of secrets and stuff in. Do you think that's a deliberate action by the American powers that be?
I think it is for psychological reasons. When you start destroying these ancient sites, it's an attack on the identity of your targeted population. And it is from a sense of place in history and identity that the spiritual strength to resist oppression and invasion comes from. And I think that's why the U.S. was doing that. The U.S. has been doing it all over the Middle East. They're targeting all these antiquities. There's a second aspect with regard to the Middle East, and it has to do with the fact that Israel's entire justification for having stolen Palestine from the Palestinians rests on the stories of the Old Testament or Torah of these amazing kingdoms of David and Solomon and the First Temple and the rest of it, for which there is zero archaeological evidence to support any of it. In fact, the few artifacts that were claimed to support the stories in the Old Testament, the pomegranate temple staff and the Jehoash tablet, both turned out to be forgeries from the same guy, Odet Golan. And it was a huge, huge scandal. Meanwhile, if you go into any other country in that part of the world, Egypt, Iraq, Iran, Syria, you can't take three steps without tripping over the remains of their ancient heritage. Look how much stuff is all over Egypt, and they think they've only found a third of it so far. And so it underscores the fact that there is absolutely no physical evidence for all this claimed ancient glorious kingdoms of David and Solomon, which form the foundation of Israel's claim on that land. And what's really ridiculous is the vast majority of the Jewish people who are now living in Israel are not descended from Middle Eastern roots. Just look at their skin color. They're descended from Central Asian Khazars who converted to Judaism in 800 AD. And then they go on down to Palestine and say, well, this is our land because we were here first. And to illustrate just how silly that is, let's imagine that I decide I'm going to adopt the Sundance religion of the Native Americans. And I give myself an Indian name, Types with Tired Fingers. And then I start going to Washington, D.C. and demanding that you all leave because, after all, we, in quote marks, were here first. That's how ridiculous this is.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, let's not forget the sympathy used by the Holocaust that's used to justify why these people need to have their land, despite the fact that there was the autonomous Jewish oblast in Russia long before Israel. Is that not correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And, actually, Adolf Hitler was working with the Zionists to get them to Palestine. Again, looking at how we were lied to about Saddam's nuclear weapons shouldn't tell us all that we cannot take at face value anything we have ever been taught in those government-controlled schools or in the corporate media, seen on movies or television. There are reasons to doubt that Holocaust story. In particular, because the entire Jewish population of Germany before World War II was only 600,000, and the Zionists were using that 6 million number in World War I as well. And the reason they did it is really very, very simple. The Zionists wanted Palestine. They wanted to go on in and just take Palestine away from the Palestinian people and use it for their own purposes. But the entire world had just united against Germany, sacrificing much blood and treasure on the principle that Germany did not have the right to just march into France or Poland or anywhere else and take it for their own use. And here were the Zionists wanting to do exactly that to Palestine. So the Zionists needed a propaganda tool that was so powerful that the same nations that stood firm against Germany taking France would turn around and say it's okay for Israel to take Palestine. And so the slave labor camps became extermination centers, the delousing became gassing, and all this other stuff was crafted for this horrific story where people said, oh my goodness, it was wrong for Germany to take to France and Poland, but we've got to let the Zionists take Palestine. And that's why they still protect that story as fanatically to this very day, because without it, you know, the hoax by which they stole Palestine from the Palestinians stands exposed.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's a very interesting fact that Mr. Robert Faurisson actually proved in a French court that most of the Holocaust tales and stories and fabrications were made up after the war as war propaganda. That was proven in a French court.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, none of this stuff appears in the records of the Red Cross, who had offices in all the slave labor camps. It doesn't appear in the autobiographies of Harry Truman or Winston Churchill or Dwight D. Eisenhower. It was all created after the fact to support the Zionist grab of Palestine. And so much of it has already fallen apart. Remember the bars of soap? They were making soap out of, you know, humans. And it turned out, you know, science has made ancient truth uncouth. The soap was actually a low-fat industrial wartime soap, and the fat came from pigs, which is a huge embarrassment because they buried a bunch of those bars of soap in Jewish cemeteries all over the place. Then there were the lampshades made out of human skin, which under modern technology have been shown to be goat skin, which was a very common crafting material of the age. It was just a big lie. And when you realize that big lies are not shocking or exceptional, it's the way government rules people throughout history. I'll give you a good example. If you go down to ancient Egypt, which I always wanted to visit, but now they're starting to kill people who look like me, so I'm probably never going to get there. And if you look at the temples at Abu Simbel and Karnak, you will see all these walls showing Ramses the Second, or Ramses the Great by his own admission, defeating the Hittites at Kadesh. And it's out there in spectacular carvings and coloring. That was actually the accepted view of history, because those temple walls were kind of the CNN of ancient Egypt. Then archaeologists found the non-aggression pact that Ramses was forced to sign with the Hittites. And we come to find out that Ramses is up there, he gets suckered in by some Hittite spies, and he almost loses his army, and he has to sign the non-aggression pact. And he scurries on back to Egypt, and he figures, I can never admit defeat. The people think I'm a god. I have to act like a god. And none of them are ever going to get up to Kadesh and find out what happened. So we're going to decorate the temples that I was victorious and rode down the Hittites in my chariots. So rulers lying to their population is thousands and thousands of years old. And they keep on doing it over and over again. In fact, we have an article at my website called Of the Liars, By the Liars, and For the Liars about all the incredible hoaxes that have been perpetrated to reshape history. The donation of Constantine, the seven cities of gold, Prester John. I mean, these are all monumental frauds perpetrated on the people by leaders seeking wealth, power, and more war. And so once you understand that's what they do, then all that we're seeing today makes absolute perfect sense. It's business as usual.
So this propaganda didn't actually start with Edward Bernays then?
No, probably lying to the people has been the divine right of kings going back probably all the way to the caveman times.
Just modern propaganda pretty much started with this kind of thinking to dupe the people.
Well, it's been refined over time because as the populations become more sophisticated, the propaganda has to become a little bit more clever. It's not clever enough. These days, most people are seeing through it. But yeah, they have to evolve the science of lying to keep pace with the evolution of the average human mind. And what
and
it really comes down to, and technology, because what it comes down to is a constant struggle between rulers who want to control what we know and think versus technological breakthroughs that change the fundamental flow of information throughout civilization. And a good example of that would be Gutenberg, who rediscovered movable type printing, and all of a sudden, books, instead of being fashion items for the ultra-rich, became available to the middle class, and the middle class literacy bloomed. They learned how to read. They started reading things their rulers didn't want them to know, and it produced a social crisis. And those institutions in Gutenberg's time that couldn't evolve to adapt to the new reality of a better educated middle class fell apart. They went extinct. And those institutions that could adapt and evolve survived. We've had similar revolutions with the advent of the newspaper, telegraphy, radio, TV, and now the internet. And we're already hearing the United Nations Security Council is out there in a panic saying that it's time to censor the internet. Because if governments can't lie to their people with impunity, then we have lost control.
Well, please do stick with us, Mr. Rivero, sir. This is the People Speak Radio Show. I'm your host, Steve Johnson, talking with special guest Mr. Mike Rivero live on Internet Radio. And we'll be right back with our guest and audience questions after this short message break.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
Today's school libraries are filled with endless opportunities. With access to print and digital materials, the latest technologies, and the guidance of a school librarian, our children are empowered with the tools they need to succeed in school and beyond. I'm Julianne Moore. Join me in celebrating all of the ways that school libraries and librarians are transforming learning for our students. For more information on how you can become involved, visit the American Association of School Librarians at aasl.org.
This land is your land.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
You're listening to the People Speak Radio Show, coming to you live across America and across the world on the BBS Radio Network. I'm your host for tonight, Steve Johnson, and we're back with our very special guest, Mr. Mike Rivero. You can call in with questions for our guest in the second half hour in the USA and Canada on 1-888-429-5471. Our special guest tonight, Mr. Mike Rivero, is a radio host on the RBN Network and a prolific speaker on the loss of American liberties. Welcome back there, Mr. Rivero, sir.
Thank you for having me back again.
I do believe we've got Dave from North Carolina on line one. Are you there, Dave?
Yes.
Yeah, do you have a question for Mr. Rivero, sir?
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for paying attention to our new website, bizantmisconduct.com, and it's really helped us and get people to look at it. I did email you today in the hopes that maybe at some point on your show you could have Tony Zimbotti, who's our top engineer, or me, who went to Northwestern and gave out our business cards to discuss that issue.
Yeah, I did look at that, and I will get back to you on that.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
We're going to have a new website, too, for other colleges, for all colleges. The one, Bizant Misconduct, is just for Northwestern.
Okay.
Thanks very much for that, Dave.
Thanks so much.
We have a question here from Great Message. Can you ask Mike why he believes geoengineering isn't really happening?
Well, you need to understand that as the popularity of the internet and independent media started to grow, and people turned away from the corporate media propagandists, they couldn't fix the situation by all of a sudden telling the truth. So there are deliberate attempts to damage the credibility of the internet and the independent media. The propagandists have a name for it called poisoning the well. And it is these government plants who put out rather nonsensical things, like the Apollo moon landings were faked, the Earth is really flat. I've actually got one sitting in my email box right now. The moon is a hollow artificial structure, chemtrails, and all the rest of this stuff, because they're trying to trick us into saying things that ordinary Americans will look at and say, oh, these people are all nuts and kooks. I'm going to go back to the safety and sanity of CNN and ABC. So basically, that's where all this stuff is coming from. Now, as far as the idea of geoengineering, I know there's been a lot of study about it, but if you look at the scale in terms of the energy required, it's a little bit beyond what anybody can actually do. And let's be honest about it. Spraying a population from 35,000 feet, it's woefully inefficient. And everything that I've ever seen about, you know, geoengineering turns out to have an alternative explanation. Somebody sent me a picture of a large aircraft, and it had funnels on the outside, and the inside was filled with tanks. And they said, this is a chemtrail spraying plane. And no, what it was the T1 test article for a new aircraft, which is fitted out with sensors to make sure the aircraft's performance matches what the computer simulation said it was going to do. And having hung around with a lot of the Boeing people when I was living in Washington State, I recognized it for what it is. So there's a lot of fraud out there, and the goal of it is to try and make the independent media look silly in an attempt to get people to go on back and trust NBC, CBS, BBC, and the rest of it. It's not really working, but they keep on trying to do it, and apparently it pays very well.
Right. We have a question here from Frank in Missouri. Do you think any of the photos of the moon landings were faked?
No, and the reason for that, again, when you actually look at the claims being put out there, like, well, why can't you see the stars? Well, the stars are very dim. You know, you're confusing what you see in movies where they'll say we're going to have the moon and the astronauts and we'll put the stars up there with real life. And if you want an example of that, if you have a camera that still has manual exposure control, go on out in the middle of the day and set the exposure to take a good picture in the daylight. Then without changing the exposure controls, try and take a picture of the sky at night. You'll get absolutely black because of the difference in illumination. Movies and TV shows fake it, and people are used to that, and they expected they were going to see that on the Apollo pictures, and it's just not there. Back when Apollo was on the moon, most chemical-based films had a latitude of only 4 stops, and anything above that was just pure white, and anything below that was absolutely black. And just in the sense of honesty, I did work on Apollo 12 post-mission in my NASA years. And this whole idea, again, this is this kind of nonsense that is put out there deliberately to try and make the independent media look silly. One more thing. All of the Apollo landing sites left behind a device called the laser ranging retroreflector, which are still there, and you can still use them. You can bounce laser beams off of them to get very precise measurements to the moon. And I've done that experiment myself personally when I worked at the Table Mountain Observatory.
Right, right. We have a
question. Actually, MythBusters did as well. MythBusters did that.
I saw that episode. I didn't think much of it. But we have a question from Mike in Liverpool. What would it look like, in your opinion, if the American populace suddenly woke up to how corrupt their system actually is?
Well, I think we're in the process of that happening right now, and I would hope that cool heads prevail. I think we're heading into an era of turmoil. I think the closest model to approximate what's going to happen is the collapse of the former Soviet Union, where because of the samizdat and the growing awareness of how corrupt their government was, how much it was lying, people just stopped paying attention, they stopped obeying, and the Soviet Union's government collapsed from its internal rot and corruption. There were a few months of hard times where people had to look out for each other, and then they formed the new Russian republics, and life is a lot better than it was under the Soviet Union. And I predict that's going to happen here. The worst thing we could do is give our government an excuse to declare a national emergency, martial law, and suspend the Constitution, because we know our government is inefficient and stupid and can't do anything, but they do one thing really very well, and that's kill people. And they are prepared to kill half of Americans if it will make the other half their obedient slaves.
Gosh. Wow, that's a pretty strong answer. We have a question from Paul in Wembley, Western Australia. If Hillary has evidence against others and threatened to expose them unless she becomes president, why would they not just kill her?
Because Hillary has dead man switches. When you're in that level of political play where you're playing with blackmail and you're a liability, you have what are called dead man switches, which means you have all this information secreted in locations in the hands of trusted intermediaries who will make it public in the event something happens to you. Where Vincent Foster made his big fatal mistake is that his dead man switch was actually in his White House office safe. And Secret Service records show that right after Foster's body was found in Fort Marcy Park, a technical team from the Pentagon was checked into the White House. And the technical team was an expert at opening safes to which they did not have the combination. And we all know that Foster's office was looted of paperwork by Hillary and her staff. That was one of the big stinks about the whole cover-up. Hillary's not going to make the same mistake that Vince Foster did, and I'm sure she has got multiple dead man switches to protect herself.
Wow. It gets deeper and deeper, doesn't it?
Yes.
Buzzy Krongard in Langley, Virginia would like to know, is that really Cruz's dad in the Oswald photo?
I'll bet that really isn't the real Buzzy Krongard.
Who knows?
who knows? You know, it's hard to say. I do know that the guy who made that first illusion was supposedly suicided. Of course, he was also involved in some other things like massive vote fraud. So it's kind of hard to tell. At this point, it's almost becoming irrelevant because Cruz is now pretty much out of the race. People realize he was never constitutionally eligible to be president or vice president, and so he's becoming a footnote. But it would certainly explain how Raul Cruz was able to leave Cuba, come to the United States, work for Zapata Oil, which was owned by George Herbert Walker Bush. It could very well be that he was a CIA asset in Cuba.
And of course, Zapata, in part, was a Busto as well, Baby Bush's oil company, funded by Salim bin Laden.
Yes, who then died in a mysterious plane crash.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Why do you think it is personally that the false flags these days we are seeing have gotten so sloppy?
They're rush jobs. And I think maybe because of how rapidly the 9/11 false flag fell apart, the propagandists are saying, all right, we're not going to be able to fool the people who are paying attention, who are looking for false flags. We just got to settle for fooling the people who still believe that America is great and we, the government, would never lie to them. But they are getting very sloppy. My concern is that our government is feeling very, very cornered. If they can't move the war agenda forward rapidly, they're going to get caught by the collapsing economy. Because if the economy collapses and they don't have a war to blame it on, the American people are going to point the finger of blame at Wall Street and Washington, D.C. And our government does not like to accept responsibility for what they do wrong. They need a fall guy. They need to be able to blame Russia or China or Iran. And because that's how politicians are. They'll take credit for anything good that happens, even if they had nothing to do with it. And anything bad that happens, it's somebody else's fault or it's the will of the imaginary playmate in the sky. And that's how they get to be politicians. And that's another reason why they're so opposed to Donald Trump. Donald Trump comes out of the world of business. And in the world of business, you are only as good as whether your promises are kept or not. If you don't keep your promises, you do not stay in business any longer. And that's a stark contrast to politicians who lie about everything from the moment they wake up to the moment they go to sleep. In fact, they don't dare tell the truth about anything at all because we might figure out how to tell the difference. And then they'd really be in trouble.
Wow. We have a question from Don in California that the naturopaths and homeopaths that have all been found dead who say they found the link to cancer in the vaccines, who do you think is killing all these doctors?
Well, I don't know who specifically is doing it, but there obviously is a motive there in the discovery that this nagalase enzyme is in modern vaccines. There is no legitimate reason for it to be there. It interferes with the body's immune system. It interferes with the body's ability to fight cancer on its own. There were another group of these doctors were working on a chemical called GC-MAF, which looks to be an actual cancer cure. And if you understand how our medical industrial complex works, an actual cure for a disease is an economic disaster. Because if you have an illness and I cure you, You pay your bill and you go away and that's it. I never see you again. But if you have that same illness and I give you a treatment for the symptoms, then you come back the next month for another treatment for the symptoms. You come back the next month and you are a permanent revenue stream for the medical industrial complex. Nobody wants a real cure. They talk about it during the fundraising, but the entire medical industrial complex needs the American people to be constantly chronically ill. If we all got healthy at the same time, the entire system would collapse. The vaccine model is out there. They're trying to sell medicine to perfectly healthy people who don't want it and don't need it because it's a $27 billion a year industry.
Are you suggesting that some of the vaccines could actually give you cancer?
Well, the Nagelase enzyme means the vaccine makes it easier for you to come down with cancer. It's not causing cancer. It makes you more susceptible. And we know these vaccines will cause illness. Just a couple of weeks ago, they had this mumps outbreak at Harvard University. And, of course, the media is out there saying, see, this is why you should get your mumps vaccine today. Look at the mumps epidemic at Harvard University, which is, by the way, spread to some other universities in that area. Then it comes out. Every one of the students at Harvard University who came down with the mumps had just had the mumps vaccine.
Gosh. We have a question here from Forever Mike in Northern England. He'd like to ask for Mr. Rivero. He'd like to ask, do you see personal debt as a form of slavery that prevents people from getting involved in social change?
Absolutely. I mean, that's how we're being ruled, perpetual debt. If you look at the way the private central banks are set up, they are designed to be unstable. They are designed to produce more debt than money with which to pay that debt. Now, these private central bankers understand those pieces of paper with colored ink on them aren't really worth anything. The item of value is that sense of a debt obligation through which the bankers control the government, the nation, and the people. It's rule by banker debt, and it's no more a legitimate form of governance than rule by divine right or rule by slavery. And like those former failed systems, it only works as long as you allow yourself to be brainwashed into thinking this is the way the world is supposed to be. But it's time for us all to become private central banking heretics and demand that we go back to a system in which the public currency of a nation is handled as a public utility. The currency should be the property of the people, not borrowed at interest from private bankers.
Damion 85 in Ohio has a question. Do you think that Bernie will be the change we need?
The deck is so stacked against Bernie Sanders. I'd love to see him win the nomination. I'll be very honest. I'd love to see him win the nomination. It's not going to happen. Hillary has literally bought and paid for the superdelegates. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's chair of the Democratic National Committee, is out there just saying, it's going to be Hillary. You might as well get used to it. Stop rocking the boat and causing trouble.
We have a question from Carol in Western Australia. A lot of the stories on your website feature the CIA drug-running operations. How much of these have surfaced since the days of the journalist Gary Webb?
Well, there's always been a link between government and contraband substances. And government likes to take control of that because it's always a tremendous source of revenue. The war on drugs is always the war on the other guy's drugs. And there's nothing new about that. The Great Britain actually fought a war in China over Britain's right to sell opium to the Chinese people. And we've all seen the stereotype of the Chinese opium den. At that time, Britain actually bought the opium from right in the United States of America. It was considered a legal crop at the time. It was politely called the China trade. And much of that money came from a family known as the Russells, who used it to fund a fraternity at Yale University called the Russell Trust. You probably know it under the name Skull and Bones.
Oh, wow.
It was funded with drug money originally. The reason we have those little poppies on Memorial Day symbolizing the eternal sleep is because poppies are what the opium comes from. And we know the CIA was running opium out of Kunsaw's plantations in Burma during Vietnam. They were shipping it back to the U.S. inside the body bags of our dead Vietnamese soldiers. They were transshipping through here in Hawaii because they didn't have airplanes that could cross the Pacific all in one lump. So it's always been part of that. And then, of course, we had Iran-Contra, where they were bringing cocaine up from Central America and on the same planes that were taking the guns down to the Nicaraguan Contras. while Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. This was all going on down. And it was it fueled the crack epidemic out in Los Angeles. And Gary Webb, of course, covered a huge amount of that. It's just nonstop. And now, of course, over in Afghanistan, the Taliban had eradicated opium production in Afghanistan completely. If you were caught with a poppy, they'd take your hand right off. A little extreme, but it did work. The U.S. invades, and all of a sudden, the poppies are blooming, bumper crops, cheap heroin is flooding into the United States of America again. And we have photos of U.S. and allied troops guarding and protecting the opium poppy fields and loading the raw opium packages onto transports. That's what our kids in Afghanistan are being asked to do, is make sure the opium flows to America's drug lords.
And I personally think that's what Pat Tillman found out.
It could very, very well be. Could very well be. And again, nothing new there. Back in Vietnam, there was a guy named Bo Greitz came out with a video called America Betrayed, where he was talking about how a big part of what was going on in Vietnam was just an excuse for massive CIA opium smuggling into the United States.
Right, right, right. Right smack in the middle of the Golden Triangle.
Yes.
Thanks, Richard Armitage, for that. We have a question from Reggie in Maryland. How is the new radio station working out, and what can we do to help spread your show and your work?
Well, you can obviously get on social media. You know, you can point people to whatreallyhappened.com, which is the website. You can point them to wrhradio.com, which is a webpage specifically devoted to the radio show, which has jumping off points for things like podcasts and the call-in numbers and rebroadcasts. And we're growing right now. We just picked up a new on-air affiliate in Kentucky. We're getting a whole new podcast archiving system any day now that will make being able to search the shows by index name and subject. And that's supposed to be up and running very soon.
In your opinion, Mr. Rivero, is this planet Earth one big slave plantation currently?
It's not one big slave plantation, but that's obviously the goal of the New World Order. Right now, it's several big slave plantations, and the owners of the slave plantations want to have bigger slave plantations than anybody else.
Okay. that's pretty straightforward, yeah. It seems to be going full steam ahead as well, isn't it?
Unfortunately, yes. I mean, these are people who are listening to the voices in their head, and they're convinced it's God talking to them, and they're not thinking things all the way through. They're literally risking incinerating the surface of planet Earth in this argument over whose brand of ink and paper we're all going to use for the next 100 years.
Wow. That pretty much sums it up, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
This current president, President Obama, won the Nobel Peace Prize a few years ago. Is this not a sure sign that our system is rigged to glorify criminals?
Well, absolutely. And even the Nobel Committee came on out and said, really, it was kind of dumb for us to do that. And it certainly is not in keeping with Alfred Nobel's instructions in his will. They give those peace prizes out as kind of a way of convincing us we should listen to this person because they've got gold things on the wall. And they've given the Nobel Peace Prize. They gave it to Al Gore for his Inconvenient Truth, which has now been thoroughly discredited. We still have snow falling in the upper Midwest of the United States, and we're 1 month away from the official start of summer. I think this idea that the world is getting warmer really needs to go away. NASA is still pushing it. NASA is trying to convince us we're in the hottest period of recent history, but then we all know what NASA stands for, right? Never a straight answer. I learned that when I worked for them, the hard way.
Oh, wow. What are your thoughts on the revelations by Edward Snowden?
It's interesting. Those of us paying attention knew this was going on all the way back to the 1980s and COINTELPRO. And at first, I thought it was a great revelation. But when you look at the fact that the NSA can't stop these hacking attacks on banks, can't find the ransomware, can't do anything, I'm beginning to think it's actually a bluff. Because if you remember the history of World War II, the Nazis created this image of the Gestapo as seeing everything, hearing everything, virtually able to read minds as an attempt to scare the German people into staying silent about what was going on. And I think that's what's going on here. Because we already proved that you can defeat the NSA's cryptographers very, very easily. And I think Edward Snowden and all this revelation and now the big stink now about microphones recording our conversations out in public, it's an attempt to stop Americans from talking with each other about just how bad things are getting in this country. The Germans fell for it. They stayed silent. They lost their nation. We cannot afford to repeat that mistake. If you let them make you afraid, they win. And let's be honest, I'm sure they're spying on certain individuals, such as myself. They cannot be listening to everybody all the time. That's just a technological impossibility. So absolutely, talk to your friends and neighbors about what's going on. These are dark times, and only by the people getting out and standing up and speaking out are we going to get out of this in one piece.
Fantastic. We're going to have you on again, Mr. Rivero. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap it up.
I look forward to coming back.
Awesome. You've been listening to the People Speak Show with special guest Mr. Mike Rivero. I'd like to thank him so much and remind all the listeners to visit his website at www.whatreallyhappened.com or listen to him on his radio show on the RBN Radio Network. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Mr. Rivero, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, and I look forward to the next time.
God bless. Indeed, I do too. Join us coming up soon on the People Speak Show when I talk with political artist Carlos Latouf and esteemed researcher Christopher Bolin. Stay tuned for those interviews coming soon. Big thanks go out to the producers Mike, Doug, and Donald, and to all my friends throughout the world and all the guys who give me so much support. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. You can tune into my own channel on YouTube called Stop Funding Israel. But for me for now, take care and bye until next time.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people and they stood there hungry and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.